Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Now, Professor Shane Higgins, the Master of the National Maternity Hospital, is with me here in studio today to answer listener questions about maternity and fertility. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Shane, how are you doing? How's things?
Very well, thanks, Andrea.
Good. Listen, before we get to listener questions today, I want to talk about this story. We spotted it in the US, scientists making embryos from human skin DNA for the first time.
Yeah, that's right. So you might remember back to Dolly the sheep that was cloned in 1996. And this is something similar, but it's moving obviously into the human arena. So they're taking a skin cell, they're taking the nucleus from the skin cell, and they're putting it into an egg that has had the nucleus removed. And you'd be asking yourself, well, why is that? What's the benefit of that? Well, the DNA that they're putting into the nucleus might be the DNA of the person who wants to have a baby, but is incapable of doing so through their own eggs, because perhaps of their age or because of a disease process. So they're using the kind of the shell of the egg, putting the person's DNA or their chromosomes in by way of the nucleus. But that's not where the problem begins and ends, because in that nucleus, there's all the chromosomes we have. Whereas in a normal egg, you only have half the chromosomes because the other half come from the sperm. So they're now talking about a process called mitomyosis, where they're going to have to break they're going to have to halve the DNA or the chromosomes in that. And so that's very much at an experimental stage at this as yet. They're saying it'll be at least 10 years before fertility clinics can consider using this. And that's setting aside all the ethical issues that might be associated with this. But Dolly the sheep was 20 years ago.
Which is hard to believe, you know. It's
30
unbelievable.
Years ago,
like, yeah.
And that it hasn't moved on much since then. It is a big breakthrough. It has huge potential.
Just on that, because I mentioned you were going to be here to chat about this a little earlier. So will it mean that a same-sex couple?
Yes. So you can take the DNA from anyone's skin cell, man or woman, and you can put that into an egg. So potentially same-sex couples, two men, can have a baby through reproductive means that will be
from their own DNA.
From their own DNA, yeah. And that's one of the potential uses, and they've described that in the article. And it's a very well written piece, and it's from a very reputable researcher in this area. But he acknowledges that this is like a decade, maybe two, away before it's going to be in clinical practice.
Yeah, okay, so it's a good while off. Yeah, but probably the first discovery of
its kind.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Okay.
So it's taking a somatic cell as opposed to a reproductive cell. So it's taking a cell, whether it's a muscle cell or a skin cell or some other cell, and they're taking the DNA from that because it is an exact match of what you are. And using that in an egg that has had the DNA removed.
Okay. Now, another topic we want to talk about today, pelvic girdle pain, is that right?
Yeah.
So what is this, first of all?
Well, it's not one thing. It's kind of a collection of features that involves the musculoskeletal system of the pelvis, which is the bony pelvis, which have joints, although most of the joints don't move in each other. So you've got the symphysis pubis, which is right in the front. You've got the sacroiliac joints at the back, but you've also got the hip joints. You've got the inguinal ligaments. You've got the round ligaments. So it's the musculoskeletal support system of the pelvis. And during pregnancy, and as pregnancy progresses, both from the weight of the pregnant uterus, but also the progesterone that's produced, the ligaments start to soften and stretch, and it allows movement of the joint surfaces on each other, which ordinarily wouldn't move, leading to an awful lot of discomfort and pain and suffering. And I've seen patients who have had to use crutches or frames, walking frames, towards the end of the pregnancy because of the discomfort that they're experiencing. So it can be, and it's a spectrum from mild discomfort to quite debilitating discomfort.
How common is it?
Very common. At least 50% of patients will have some form of pelvic discomfort in pregnancy. And as soon as you start to notice, you know, discomfort, whether it's running down the side of the pregnant uterus, or it's in the skin crease between the thigh and the abdomen, or the joints of your pelvis, you can start immediately to do a few things that will help. Heat is always a very good source of relief and discomfort for musculoskeletal pain. So a hot water bottle or a heat pack, not a chemical heat pack, a thermal heat pack. But then keeping your thighs in a neutral position. So when you're in bed asleep or sleeping, have a pillow folded between your knees so you're keeping your pelvis in a neutral position. And also when you're moving off a sofa, out of bed, out of a car, instead of moving one leg followed by the other, as we all do, try and move both those legs together. But the most important thing you can do is see a physiotherapist. They can give you a lot of support by way of exercises, manipulations, but they can also give you something called a pregnancy support belt, which is a belt that wraps around the pelvis and kind of pulls everything back together again and gives you that support that you're lacking.
Okay, so there is, even though you mightn't be able to physically take anything for it, but the physio, the exercises, the support belt, there is
absolutely
something out there that can help.
Yeah, and even things like warm, all the things that you would normally do for aching muscles and joints, so a hot bath, hot shower, heat pack, hot water bottle, all of those things. Going down the road of pharmacology, like medicines, there really isn't anything. Paracetamol, we know what the controversy about that, but paracetamol you can take now and again, but you're not going to be taking that every day. And for some patients, this is a problem that will start mid-pregnancy and will continue right up until they deliver the baby.
Yeah, that's the thing. Does it end at that point, or is there long-term damage from it?
No, it pretty much ends at that point in time. And in fact, as soon as the placenta delivers, all that progesterone is removed fairly rapidly from your circulation. And almost within 24 hours, you'll see a lot of patients will be absolutely back to normal and fully mobile and pain-free. But what I notice is that if you've had it in your first pregnancy, you're likely to get it in your second.
I was just listening going to, I was asking that question
And probably a little earlier and a little more severe.
Oh,
and then
really?
Third pregnancy again. So be a little bit proactive, be as fit as you can, maintain a level of fitness during pregnancy. But whether you go to prevent yourself by getting physio and physio exercises is questionable. But as soon as you start to become symptomatic, as soon as you start to feel your pelvis is uncomfortable, sore, achy, you're struggling to walk, absolutely go and see a physio.
Listeners wondering about they have an elective C-section scheduled for 38 plus weeks.
Yeah.
No risk factors requiring early delivery. Should I ask for that date to be pushed out to 39 weeks, or is it safe?
Oh, no, it's safe to push it out to 39 weeks. But what your caregiver is looking to do is to balance the risk between delivering the baby too early, and 38 and a half weeks wouldn't be considered too early. But then by pushing it out further, 39, 39 and a half, there's a risk that you'll come in labour, and then the caesarean section will just have to become an emergency out of hours perhaps. And that's what they're trying to avoid in balancing the date.
Okay, so they just speak to their consultant about that stage? Or?
I mean, 38 and a half, 39 weeks, there's only 2 or 3 days in it. So if you want to push it out to 39 weeks, there should be no downside with that. And that's really what we encourage elective section dates to be, around the 38 and a half, 39 week mark.
Reflexology, this listener says, also helps if reflexologists have done a special pregnancy reflexology course for pelvic pain protocols.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Acupuncture, I should have mentioned these alternative therapies, acupuncture, reflexology, they're all absolutely worthwhile if you believe in them, because some patients would be quite sceptical. But I actually genuinely believe there's certainly a benefit for the likes of acupuncture.
Yeah, during all pregnancy or just in relation to this pelvic pain?
For specific conditions. I mean, some patients will use acupressure points for vomiting, nausea and vomiting in pregnancy, but I know that there are a lot of patients who at 37, 38 weeks will get some acupuncture to try and help them go into labour, but also, musculoskeletal problems are absolutely fine to use acupuncture for.
Okay. Listener says 087-1400-106 is that WhatsApp number. My partner and I have been trying to conceive for nearly 18 months, have never had a positive pregnancy test. We're now preparing for IVF treatment with embryo freezing. Can you please ask Shane Higgins how to prepare for IVF treatment with unexplained infertility and with the possibility of, isn't it adenomyosis?
Adenomyosis?
Yes. Is there anything we can do to improve our odds for a successful outcome? I've listened to one of your previous discussions regarding the immune microbiome testing, and at what point in IVF should we start to consider those?
Well, I think there are different issues at play here. I think so. You've unexplained self-fertility by the sounds of it, and your prep or your preparation for IVF will be the same as it would be for somebody who has a known cause. So they will be stimulating your ovaries to produce as many eggs as possible. They'll be harvesting those eggs. They will be fertilizing them outside the body. And then they will be, I suppose, considering how many successful fertilizations take place, the quality of the eggs, all of these things. And that's one stream. And that will, that can happen in parallel with you, I suppose, preparing for a pregnancy. And that's, you know, lifestyle choices, eating healthily, supplements to your diet, no smoking, reducing your alcohol consumption, The vaginal microbiome is something that we're exploring more along the lines of reducing the risk of preterm birth. And we're certainly not considering that in patients who haven't had a history of a preterm birth or who aren't considered at risk. So the vaginal microbiome is not something that we're trying to manipulate other than in the context of somebody who's had a previous preterm birth.
So what should they, where is their starting point? Like if they're already considering the IVF treatment, so it's just follow through with
that? Well, if they're considering it, well, then they have to consider, they have to determine, or it has to be determined whether they're eligible for public IVF, which is now available throughout the country. Referral from a GP. Going to your GP would be the starting point. They'll determine your eligibility by virtue of your age. Have you had previous successful pregnancies? All of these things are considered. Then they'll refer you to one of the six hubs for public infertility in the country, of which we're one. And then if you're referred and considered eligible for IVF, then you can choose one of the providers of the public IVF or the publicly funded IVF. And there are several of those throughout the country. And that's so that your starting point from if you've not approached anyone would be your GP.
It's your GP in the first instance. Okay. Quite a few questions today. People talking to us about autism, you know, in pregnancy and newborn babies. So I think what we'll do, because we want to make sure we give that plenty of time and don't want to scaremonger either. So we're going to maybe chat about that next week on the programme. And if listeners have questions or queries or concerns, if you want to drop us an email in advance, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com is where you can do that. For the moment though, Master of the National Maternity Hospital, Professor Shane Higgins, thanks a million for joining us here for Making Babies.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.